Hi, and welcome to the Feed the Pig podcast. I'm your host, Tim Farrell. Money shouldn't drive your future, but neither should debt. It's time for you to take control, not just for today, but for your whole life. Remember, small changes add up. The Feed the Pig podcast is here to help you take steps to start saving for today, so you'll have a solid financial future tomorrow. In this episode, we'll be looking at different factors that come into play when choosing the right bank for you. This is an episode you can take to the bank.
Welcome back to the Feed the Pig podcast. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about banks and how to choose the one that's right for you. Joining me today is Tyler. Tyler, tell me a little bit about yourself. What's been going on with you, and why are you looking for a bank?
Sure, yeah. I just moved out east from Texas, where I just took a new job. And I'm looking for a new bank because my bank doesn't have any locations in the east. So I've been looking around, and I don't know whether I should go with a local bank that's smaller or whether or not I should go with one of the big national banks.
What part of Texas were you coming in from?
Austin.
Austin. And then now you've moved into Manhattan, New York City?
New York City, correct.
Now, are there a lot of banks in your neighborhood? Do you see them around? Which types of banks have you been looking for or looking at?
Well, I guess I see a lot of the big ones, Chase, Bank of America, Citibank. They seem to have a lot of locations. But there's also a lot of smaller banks around the area, too.
All right, well, let me introduce you first to Jordan Amon. Jordan Amon's a CPA from New Jersey, and he's joining us to give you a little bit of background and some ideas to think about when you're going out and interviewing some of these banks to be your bank. Mm-hmm. Hey, Jordan, thanks for being here.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Tyler. How are you?
Great. Thanks. How you doing, Jordan?
Good.
All right. So you heard Tyler. He's new in town. He's trying to figure out how and where he should take his paycheck. Thank goodness you got a paycheck to put in.
And right.
What are some of the things that he should think about? You know, how about big bank versus small bank?
First of all, Tyler, welcome to the East Coast.
Thank you. But
when you're looking at banks, I think it's important to figure out what you're looking to get from a bank. So, you know, big bank versus little bank, versus local bank, there's a lot of things to consider. One of them is, what banking services do you use? You know, what's important to you? Do you do a lot of traveling, and will you need access to ATMs all over the country? And if you go to a local bank, you may not have that option without having to pay a fee everywhere you go. So that might be something to avoid. Another thing to look at is, you know, what are some of the other services that they offer? You know, free checking with a smaller amount than initial deposit, or do you need a larger amount in an initial deposit to, you know, to get free checking from a different bank, whether it's a big national bank or a smaller local bank? So I think both banks have their pros and cons. So it really depends on coming up with, you know, what you use, you know, what your banking relationship is. What do you use the bank for? Do you do everything online? Do you stop in a branch? You know, how many branches do they have? Where are they located? So those are some of the things to think of.
Do you think you'll be a heavy ATM user? Will you hit the ATM a lot and take out little bits, or you think you'll take out larger amounts? What's been your banking profile up to this point?
I guess I hit the ATM a lot, and so it's important to have a bank that has a lot of ATM locations, so I'm not getting charged every time I take money out. It depends what ATM. If it's one of my branches ATMs, then I'll just take out. I'll go in and see exactly how much I need. If it's one that charges me some extra money, I'm going to get out more than I would normally get out probably.
Jordan, can you talk to us a little bit about the fees that go with ATMs and, you know, long term, what are some of the issues with that?
Well, you know, fees, there are different fees for ATM charges. The first is often the ATM that you're using from ABC Bank, if that's not your bank, often they charge you, I think they call it like a terminal fee for the use of their machine, and they may charge you $1.50 or $2.50 or even more than that. And then your bank on top of that may charge you something for not using one of their machines. I actually had that happen to me recently. I was stuck without cash and didn't really have the luxury of looking for my bank. I ended up paying $4 to take my own money out of the bank. And you know, depending on how frequently you use an ATM, if you're a heavy ATM user, as you know, you just indicated, you know, $2 a week, you know, $2 twice a week, you know, it starts to add up. And there's just no reason to give that money away. That's not really what you would choose to purchase it on, you know, to spend that money on if you had the choice. So you want to try and set up your banking relationship and how you use cash to avoid paying unnecessary fees. It's just, you know, money's too hard to come by to give $2 away to someone for using their machine.
And I write a lot of checks during the month. Is there anything to be aware of about banks maybe charging me for the amount of checks that I write?
Absolutely. Some banks do have a certain amount of checks included, checks per month included with certain types of accounts. So, you know, they have different suites of services. So if you put in, you know, let's say you put in $1,000 into an account and that's your minimum balance, for you not to have a fee, there may only be a certain amount of checks that you could write each month. Or, if you're trying to get away from checks and do it online, certain banks may have a fee for doing the online banking. So it really is important to figure out kind of, you know, I like the way Tim coined it before, your banking profile and sort of line that up to the services that are being offered to make sure you're getting a good bang for your choice there.
You know, one thing I did when I was new to the working world and all of a sudden I had to open a bank account, I made the typical mistakes of bouncing checks. What are some of the pitfalls therein that Tyler should be looking out for with bouncing checks?
Well, obviously, bouncing checks is not a good idea. Writing checks that you don't have to bounce in your bank account to cover could cause a bounce check fee. They call it a not sufficient fee. If you write a check for, you know, $100, you only have 50 in there, it's going to bounce and they're going to hit you a fee. Plus, whoever you sent the check to is likely going to hit you for some sort of fee. Some banks do offer overdraft protection where they'll give you a certain amount that you're allowed to use and you have a fee for that, or it could be an interest charge. So you just want to understand what the policy is. And even if you have the overdraft protection on there, which is something that maybe you don't pay for unless you use, it's a good idea to try and avoid doing that by, you know, balancing your checkbook monthly, keeping track of what goes in and out, really you're keeping track of what you do. And a side benefit of balancing your checkbook every month, one of the things that I've learned from doing it is it really gives me a good indication of where my money's going. And I see at the end of the month, I spend that much on what? You know, you look at it and kind of really get a good handle on where your money's coming from and where it's going to. And on top of that, you can avoid bouncing checks.
And you realize that you've spent that much money on your bobblehead doll collection.
And my wife wasn't happy when she found out that's what it was for.
All right, Tyler, do you have any other questions before you go out there and find your bank?
I was wondering about, how important is it to have your bank be FDIC insured?
That's a great question, Tyler. FDIC, it's very important to put your money with a bank that's insured by the federal government. And as we've been reading about with the news lately, they just increased the amount that your bank accounts will be covered up from $100,000 to $250,000, I believe. So what that means is if there was a situation where your bank were to fail and doesn't have the money, you know, to give you what's in your bank account, which could be, you know, a substantial amount to you and I, you know, even losing a dollar for putting into the bank would be something that would be substantial. The government would step into the shoes of the lender, and it's insured by them, so they would make you whole. So I think that it's very important to have your money protected by the government, especially with what we're seeing in the world these days. And, you know, I can't think of a reason that you would want to go to a bank that's not insured.
All right. Thanks, Tyler. Thanks very much, Jordan.
Oh, my pleasure, as always.
Thanks for joining us again on the Feed the Pig podcast. And don't forget to look for us next time, because we'll be looking at more ways for career builders to make the most of their money. Jordan Amon works for Amper, Polizziner, and Mattia, a CPA firm in the New York, New Jersey region. If you're looking for more information on ways to save, you can check out feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org. Or if you have a question that you want us to talk about, email it to us at feedthepig@gmail.com.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or FeedThePig.org. It is provided with the understanding that AICPA and FeedThePig.org are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and FeedThePig.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to and assume no responsibility for the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.